Amazing how all of these things work. Perhaps it's because we live in a world where humans have a common struggle against evil. And it is a continual battle. I'm sure this morning that you have had battle with evil. If you haven't, you haven't been around very long. Most of us have been around more than a few days, right? Biblical disciples live the type of lives that continually encounter evil. However, as we're given a source greater than any evil, and we can experience daily victory as we overcome evil with good. Aren't you glad today that we can, by the grace of God? What does it look like for someone to find life? Now Brian's going to play for us a video that talks about the possibilities for our own faith. We'll ask him at this time to show the video.
In 1940, Nazi forces invaded Richard and Sabina Wurmbrand's home country, Romania. There were no safe spaces for Jews. And though Christian, Richard and Sabina were ethnic Jews.
Be afraid, for I am with you. Genesis 26. Do not be afraid of them. Joshua 8.
I'm kind of afraid.
They are asking to see IDs. All our lives remaining. Now we're Jews only.
Christian, really?
Show me about the Jewish party again, right?
Dă-te la o parte, știu că ascunzi evrei aici.
Puteți să vă uitați, dar nu e niciun evreu aici.
Perhaps you should get out if you still can.
Run away?
If we stay, I'll follow the others into prison. It will be the end of our lives together.
Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. We believe this, or we don't.
Richard and Sabina, like many Christians during World War II, had a choice. Lay low and hope the worst passed them by. Or get involved and be the hands and feet of Christ. All at great personal risk.
I think we have to stay. We have a job to do.
If they are coming, then they're coming. Let's not think of them as enemies to be feared, but rather as a mission.
Like Sabina and Richard Wurmbrand, today's persecuted Christians, living in hostile areas and restricted nations, are bold witnesses for Christ. Choosing to give up their comfort and safety in this world in order to find a life that counts for eternity. The first request from our persecuted Christian brothers and sisters is, will you pray for me? As we pray for them to endure opposition in order to advance the gospel, may we be inspired by their example to pay any price necessary in obedience to Christ.
Perhaps it would be good for us just to pause now and pray for those who are being persecuted around the world. You say it'll never happen in America. I would not guarantee you that. Could happen to us. Let's spend a moment in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, again, we pause in your presence. We're grateful for the organization, the Voice of the Martyrs. We ask today that you'd be with those who are being persecuted as Christians, that God will give these the right words to share and for them to understand and find peace in the sufficiency of God's grace, even in their weaknesses. And as they face hardship, that they will draw from the source of the power that is larger than what they are, that God would be present when they're persecuted in their hardships, protecting them according to his will, that their witness would inspire them to seek those who harm them. Father, we thank you today that you care about each and every one of us. We may not be persecuted as others around the world, but Jesus said, in this world you will have persecution. In this world you'll be tried and tested, but cheer up. I have overcome the world. Thank you this morning for the hope that we have in the resurrected Christ, that one of these days we'll be able to join together as a group and as your people to spend eternity with you. Bless now those who are facing persecution, those who are going through some trials and tests and problems and needs, and would you guide and direct, work out your will in your way. In the name of Christ, we pray and ask all these things. Amen. I draw your attention this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 for our scripture reading today. Would you stand with me as I read from the Word this morning? Paul's writing to the church in the book of, in the city of Rome, or in the Roman territory. He said, therefore, there in chapter 12 of Romans, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated. In this passage of scripture, God calls us to give ourselves completely to him. He wrote there in verse 1, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You see, beloved, this morning, and I'm sure most of us are aware of the fact that God has been merciful to us by not condemning us in our sins, but giving us new life in Christ. His mercy is actually the motivation for our consecration. Paul is saying, in the light of God's mercy to us, how should we respond? He says, by offering ourselves back to him. This is a picture that Paul paints here in the Old Testament, the picture of a priest offering a sacrifice to God on the altar. The animal's life is offered for the sin of the worshiper. The sacrifice is complete. The animal gives its life. Our sacrifice can be just as complete. Though we're not physically dead, our lives can be totally given to God and his work. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus offered himself, not just an offering, but he gave actually himself? on the altar, and he gave himself on the cross of Calvary. His sacrifice was complete, that his physical life was taken. He calls us to offer ourselves to God just as he did. The big difference is with us that we go on living. In reality, we're to be a living sacrifice. Paul said that so clearly in this passage of Scripture. How thankful we need to be that Paul here is admonishing us as Christians. Paul wrote again to the church in Galatia, and he said there in chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Jesus willingly became a servant, loved unconditionally, submitted to God, and all things, all things forgave even those who took his life. You remember he said as he hung on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done or what they're doing. Aren't you glad this morning that we can follow his example and be what he wants us to be? Armored Hindu extremist approached Candy's home in India. I hope this is not the same illustration that you gave, Esther, is it? Hopefully not, but could be. Candy and the home in India, angry that he would not renounce his faith in Christ. And Candy told his wife, Bindi, no matter what happens to me, you should not give up your faith in Jesus. Excuse me. Candy and Bindi continued living for Christ, praying and trusting God each day. After repeated harassment, Candy was killed by a Hindu mob. Bindi's father suggested that she should stop following Jesus. But in replying to her father, Bindi repeated something that she remembered Candy once saying, I will live for Jesus or die for Jesus, but I will never turn back. Those who have died to self are willing to live for Christ no matter the cost. Not easy to come to that place in our lives, is it? That when we're willing to live for Christ, but we said we may need to die for Christ. You see, our culture, God here is telling us that the cost may be high, but God will help us to pay that cost as we allow him to do it. God calls us to turn away from the pattern of this present age. Paul says here in verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Do you know that our culture around us is trying to cause us to follow the way that they think and act instead of us allowing God to minister to us and through us that we might be and become all that he would have us to be? Again, Paul says here in this passage that we must no longer think like the world thinks or value as the world values. We must not define the reality this way. The world defines it. We must march to the beat of a different drummer and have a different set of goals for our life than the world has for us. Aren't you glad this morning that Paul here is admonishing the church? He's actually writing the church here. He says, don't let the world around you conform you to the world that is here, but that we might be witnesses to that. Again, Peter says to us in his book in 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you were in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Wow. It's pretty strong writing, isn't it? Aren't you glad this morning Peter knows what he's talking about? What an example for us to follow, a life of holiness or Christ-likeness. God wants his followers to become holy like him. He said, be holy as I am holy. God calls us to a life of transformation. Again, Paul wrote here in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In a paraphrase, it says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You realize this morning the way we think is often the way we act? Careful now, preacher, you're getting awful close. The way we think, we may be like the way we act. But here, when we consecrate ourselves to God, he performs a miracle in us. He radically transforms our lives from what we once were in waking us to being what he wants us to be. You see, our life choices, our lifestyle choices change. Our values change. Just about everything that describes us changes. We are to be transformed in our inner person. This includes, it is the wellspring of our personality, spiritually, worship, willpower, emotions, attitudes, conscience, actions, reactions. Everything that defines us is being transformed by God. I was raised in a parsonage. My father was a minister. Back in some of those days, they wanted to express holiness or Christ-likeness to be that on the exterior. But Paul here is talking about the interior. Out of the abundance, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What we have inside our heart needs to come out. He's saying to us, if you don't have in there what's right, the wrong thing's going to come out. I'm sure your children or grandchildren never said the wrong thing or said words that others say. And I remember my own mother saying to me, if you don't quit saying that, I'm going to wash your mouth with soap. Because you never said that to your children or grandchildren, I'm sure. You know what? She never had to do that. We said that to our children. The world around us does influence us. And Paul is saying the important thing is that we need to have in our heart and our life, when we become like Christ, Christ's character is consecration of ourselves to God so He can transform us. This transformation occurs both in a moment and over an entire lifetime. God wants to form in us practical application of Christ-like characteristics in us. This very well could include the way that how Jesus loved the Father, most important of all, and He loved others very deeply. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus said, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father? And Jesus said, I love the Father. He's everything to Me. I try to do everything He asked Me to do. Jesus had a personality that invited people to God. He lived a humble life. He balanced His time between work and rest, people and alone time. He was compassionate. He was thoughtful. He was courteous. He didn't play the victim and feel sorry for Himself. He didn't retaliate when others treated Him wrong. He had a clear purpose for His life. He lived with eternity's values in mind. He drew daily from strength from His Father. And as we read the New Testament, sometimes He would just go and spend time with His Father and be alone with His Father. How important that is. He lived with eternity's values. He drew daily. He lived a life of service. He suffered for others. He gave His life for us. Can we give any less for Him? You see, God doesn't conform us to the likeness of His Son in our sleep. You perhaps have seen or heard about those who say, well, you can take this pill and it'll help you to lose weight. You ever heard about that? And while you're sleeping, it'll just melt away. The only problem is that's a dream. Doesn't work. If you want to lose weight, you have to quit taking so much in. You have to exercise. You have to do all kinds of things. Is this not true also, spiritually speaking, this morning, beloved? What is it saying to us? We have to work at weight loss. We have to work at Christ-like character. You see, a Christ-like character requires that we allow God working on us and in us. Again, Paul said to the church at Philippi, therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. God desires for us to allow Him to work inside of us. Inside. The exterior will take care of itself if we got the inside right. Amen? The exterior will come out as it ought to be if we've got the heart right with God. You see, a Christ-like character requires effort on our part. Again, Paul wrote to the church, to the Hebrew people there in the book of Hebrews. And I'm using the Message. And the Message says, so come on, let's leave the preschool fingerprinting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundation truths are in place. Turning your back on salvation by self-help. turning in trust toward God, baptismal instructions, laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. See, God helping us, we'll stay true to all of that. But there's so much more. Let's get on with it. Once people have seen the light, gotten a taste of heaven and been part of the work of the Holy Spirit, once they personally experience the sheer goodness of God's Word and the powers breaking in on us, if they then don't turn their backs on it, washing their hands of the whole thing, well, they can't start over as if nothing happened. That's impossible. Why, they've re-crucified Jesus. They repudiated Him in public. You see, Christ desires for us to work at it. He wants us to become like He is and allow Him to work in and through us. It requires time. Peter again says to us there in 2 Peter, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we've ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you've turned your back on the world corrupted by trust. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given. Complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendships, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will go under your feet. No day will pass without the reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. What is He saying to us? We need to become more like Jesus. To become like He is, like He was, and that He is in this day and age. You see, in these passages, God does not want us to slack off in our spiritual fervor or relax in our spiritual growth. We must give it all we've got until we come to that point. As Paul said, I've finished the race. I've come to the end of my life. It's over. How precious that is. Just this past week, our son-in-law lost his older brother. You say, that's sad. It is sad, but sad to say, it took cancer to get his attention and cause him to realize his need to give his heart and life back to Jesus. And he did, and he told his brother, who will be preaching his funeral this week, he said, tell the people, I'm right with God. I got things straightened out. It's okay. Heaven is what I'm looking forward to. Aren't you glad this morning that we want to become like Christ? You say, how do we go in Christ's likeness? We build our Christian character one decision at a time. How many decisions do you make in a day? Well, I probably can't count them all, can you? You got a decision to get up this morning. You got a decision to get something to eat. You got a decision to wear what clothes you're wearing. And on we could go today. But you see, every time we do the right thing, the honest, the goodly thing, or godly things, the true, we grow in our character. You see, character is who we are when no one is around, when we're out of town, when the cameras are off, when our defenses are down. It is what we do when we're not trying to put our best foot forward to get a promotion, to impress anyone. It means our actions, our reactions, our attitudes, our motives in life remind us of Jesus. You say, how can that be? Because we're humans. We need help. We need guidance. We need direction. Will there be times we fail? Sure. We're humans, right? There's none of us perfect. We can be in a perfect relationship, but we're not perfect as long as we live in this world. If you think you're perfect, that's the first mistake you made. Right? You see, God is the one who gives us perfect love, a pure heart and power. He's the one who transforms and conforms us into the image of His Son. It's a divine miracle. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. All that He asks us is if we remain open to Him and live in daily obedience. Daily, moment by moment. Listen again to what Paul said, and I'm reading again out of the Message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life and place it before God as an offering, embracing what God does for you and the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what He wants for you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Aren't you glad today God wants us to become like Him through a relationship with Jesus Christ? Again, Paul admonishes us to offer ourselves to God and to His service. Ask yourself throughout the day as you make those hundreds of decisions, what would Jesus do? Do you ever make a decision you wished you hadn't? Are you ever sorry for something you did? There are times I have to go back to my wife and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Those are probably the three hardest words that most of us find to use. I'm sorry, I was wrong. But you know what? God knows exactly our hearts, our lives. We may have to say to Him on occasion, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. I'm wrong. You see, there's nothing wrong with that. That's really a sign of maturity in Christ. Let the Spirit of Christ guide you. Live in a constant state of mind saying, here I am, Lord, use me. Make your everyday activity an act of worship. You see, beloved, this morning, as we live our lives for God and endeavor to be a Christ-like life, there'll be times of testing. Times of testing. We go through them. We're human. We can't help but have times that will not be easy. The illustration is found of a lady who stood over her husband's coffin. There were tears in her eyes, but her voice was strong. The bruises on her body told the mourners that she too had been beaten. As Christians, she and her husband had refused to take a tribal oath. That wasn't consistent with their Christian faith. For this, her husband was beaten to death. And she was beaten and hospitalized. The crowd was still silenced by the power of the widow's words and her will. And this is what she said as she stood there in that room. I, as his widow, also tell all of you, in the presence of my dead husband, that I hate none of those who killed him. I love the killers. I forgive them, knowing that Christ has died for them too. Wow. No one in extreme forgiveness or in attendance that day would ever forget the widow's words or her example of extreme forgiveness and grace. Just a few years ago, and I believe if my memory serves me correctly, in the state of Georgia, a gentleman came in, took the lives of several people in that church. Do you know what their response was? We forgive him. We forgive. Folks, you don't get that place very easily. It's not easy to forgive when you've been wronged. But Jesus set for us an example. Our goal as Christian is Christ-likeness. Who wouldn't want to be more like Jesus? I ask you this morning, have you offered yourself back to God on the altar of consecration so that He can transform and conform you to the image of His Son? It may be that we have taken back part of that offer and we think, you know, God, I need this. I need to do this or I need to do that. It's possible that we may need to reoffer ourselves to God as a sacrifice and say, Lord, I'm all yours. Use me in a way that can bring glory and honor to your name. Aren't you glad this morning that He's more than willing to forgive us and to help us to become like Him? How precious. What a privilege this morning. I know this is probably hard to understand, but it's not when we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to direct us, to encourage us, to challenge us. And I want to move now into the communion service. You have your communion cup there before you. The communion supper instituted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a sacrament which proclaims his life, his sufferings, his sacrificial death, his resurrection, and the hope of his coming again. It shows forth the Lord's death until he returns. It's a means of grace which Christ is present by the Spirit. It's received in reverent appreciation and gratefulness for the work of Christ. It's for those who have given their hearts and their lives to Jesus. We come to his table that we may be renewed in life and salvation, be made one by the Spirit. It's unity within the church. We confess our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Aren't you glad this morning that as we partake of this, we do it? Jesus said, do it in remembrance of me until I come again. So as we take the bread this morning, it's the body of our Lord Jesus, which was broken for you. May it preserve you blameless into everlasting life. As we eat this, let us do it in remembrance that Christ died for us, and let's be thankful. Let's partake of it together. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you, may it preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. As we drink this morning, let us do it in remembrance that Christ died for us, and let's be thankful. Let's partake of it together. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you today again for your Son who willingly came to become one of us so that we could become one of yours. Thank you, Jesus, this morning for willingly giving your life on the cross of Calvary, that we no longer have to offer sacrifices on the cross or sacrifices as they did in the Old Testament, but you became the supreme sacrifice. And we're grateful today, Jesus, for what you've done and you're doing, and that you're at the right hand of the Father ever interceding for us. We're thankful for all that you do and all that you are and what you make possible as we look to you. Help us to never take lightly communion, but may we realize how good and how wonderful, how precious it is to each of us who know you in a real and personal way. Guide us, direct us. As we're dismissed from the service, may we not be dismissed from your presence, but may you go with us, may you guide us, may you direct us throughout this day, as we endeavor to challenge your people this morning, that we might become all that you want us to be, and to offer back to you what you've given to us, that we might become the living sacrifices that you'd have us to be. For we pray and ask all of these things in the wonderful, lovely, precious, glorious name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming and sharing today. May his blessings rest upon you. Stand together and greet somebody. Can you do that? If you're not afraid of them.